Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
State Senator Amanda Chase has been kind enough to join us. You know, she represents Chesterfield County. She is also the first person to step out and say that she intends to run for governor of Virginia next year. She's seeking the Republican nomination. And I thought, you know what? What would she do differently than the current governor, Ralph Northam, the Democrat? And would she be willing to talk about that? And, you know, I'm pleased that you're willing to come on the air. What's your assessment? Let's start with this mask thing for tomorrow. You check out Facebook, you've got people who absolutely insist this is the only Christian thing to do is to protect your neighbors. You must wear a mask. I mean, my God, how could you be so insensitive if you're not willing to do that going forward? And then other people who are basically ready to riot at the Capitol over what they see as, oppression, tyrannical oppression from this governor. Where do you stand on this?
Well, I think that even when we have a crisis like we clearly have right now, we have to respect the Constitution. Even in a crisis, the Constitution provides the guardrails in which we issue these emergency and executive orders. And so I would say, no matter what your opinion is, I mean, as an American, it should be respected. As Virginia's next governor, I would say I would educate, not mandate. It shouldn't be a class one misdemeanor for not doing, you know, this governor has declared in the, you're talking about the mask mandate with Executive Order 63. Mm-hmm. What's frustrating to me is just the continuing inconsistencies with what the governor is telling us to do versus what his executive orders say. Now, let me give you an example of that. Okay. In his earlier announcement, he said it is not a crime on Friday when this goes into effect tomorrow. The health officials, he said, will enforce this. It will not be a criminal offense or matter. The police and the sheriff are not even going to enforce it. And that he's, quote unquote, not looking to get people in order, not putting people in jail. He doesn't want to get them in trouble. But when you actually read the actual executive order itself, it's actually the opposite. It says it will be a class one misdemeanor, meaning it's a $2,500 fine or up to a year in jail. And that is a complete lie, a bold-faced lie and contradiction to what he actually said in the press conference. And my concern is this. Whenever we issue any type of emergency, state of emergency, or executive order, we need to be very clear on what we're saying to the people in a press conference and what is actually in writing. And so that is what I'm really most upset about today, John. It's, you know, this should not be a criminal penalty. And my biggest concern is that he is putting the onus once again on small businesses to enforce it. I mean, he says the health department, the health officials are going to be the ones to enforce this. But I think we're putting small business owners in a very compromised position because they don't want to lose their ability yet again to earn a living, to support and provide for their families. And so now you're making them, you know, be the bad guys here and to say they're going to have to decide, you know, am I going to allow people am I business or not? I mean, I have a lot of business owners reaching out to me now saying, am I going to have to force patrons that come into my business to wear a mask or not? Are we going to actually turn people away who choose not to wear a mask? And I will say that in the executive order, there is a provision that says that if you have a medical condition, you don't have to provide any documentation or anything. You simply tell the person, look, I have a medical condition, and I don't need to comply. I don't need to wear a mask. They're not going to check it, and it's against the Americans for Disability Act of 1990 for them to be able to ask you all those questions. They can't do it.
Seems like it does set up a conflict, though.
It really does, and that's unfortunate. And, you know, just the fact that he was at the beach, you know, he's going out and telling people, you know, we need to follow the CDC guidelines. We need to have the social distancing of 6 feet. We need to wear the mask. And really, I think people are just dumbfounded by the lack of sincerity of what his actions are whenever maybe nobody's looking, like on the beach. Well, we have people on the beach who are taking pictures with the governor. There's no social distancing going on. At least
for once, he really did seem to get hammered for what I just don't think there's any way around it. Either real sloppiness on the way you carry yourself in public or total hypocrisy, maybe both. But I want to be clear, if you were the governor, what I'm hearing you say is that you would probably give a speech and tell people that you think they should wear masks, but you wouldn't mandate it. Is that right?
That's exactly right. You know, I feel that it would be my role to provide clear and convincing evidence to the people by having the healthcare experts to come before the podium. I love that we're having consistent and regular press conferences to keep the people informed. I think that is our role. It's our duty. It's our responsibility. But what you're saying should be convincing the public and educating them on why they should be doing these things. Give them clear and convincing evidence that and educating them. And if you do a good job at that, you should never have to mandate. You should not have to follow that up with, if you don't do this, it's going to be a class one misdemeanor. I mean,
if the governor were here, forgive me for cutting you off, but the governor were here, he'd probably say, look, 90% of the people might do it. I can show you charts and I can explain why it's important not to risk grandma's health here. But that 10% that won't wear the masks, if we don't mandate it and enforce it on some level, they're the ones who will just allow this virus to take off and spread like crazy. I'm not sure that that's true, but I think that's what he would say. What would your response be to that?
Well, I would say this is America, and, you know, we have, you know, we protect the public safety while respecting individual rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the ability of an individual to determine their destiny and make a living to support their family. You know, we can't, it's, you know, it's the frustrating part to me is, you know, that the governor is strong arming people and saying you have to do this. If they don't do it, it is their right. It's their choice. They assume the risk.
Can I ask you about the opening timetable here? I mean, this, you know, this started with a closure. We are supposedly examining the data very closely. I would argue that we haven't seen a huge number of hospitalizations or sad, you know, every death is sad, but not even a huge number of deaths out of 8.5 million Virginians. Has the governor gotten this timetable right, or is he prolonging the economic tragedy here? What would you do differently if you were to go back to March and go month by month here to almost June? What would your directives be?
Well, I think I would evaluate things on a 3-week rolling timeline. In other words, not on March the 31st, completely closing down our schools for the remainder of the year. I would look and evaluate the data on a 3-week time period, because I know that when a business gears back up, you know, they have to rehire people, they have to replenish inventories. We need to give people time our school systems the ability to time and plan for these things, and I think 3 weeks does that. But you know what this governor has done is all the way back to March 31st, he just shut everything down. He issued a stay-at-home order all the way to June. Initially, I think it was the 10th, which was the day after the primaries were going to take place, which raised all kinds of eyebrows regarding the selection of that date. I just think that given a situation where there's so much uncertainty, that you really have to give yourself that flexibility that anything could change in a matter of a day or a week. And so to completely shut things down that far in advance, I think is crushing our economy. You know, we have made it, the governor has made it illegal for some people to earn a living. He has allowed the government to pick winners and losers. He's identified which businesses are essential, in his opinion, versus not essential. I would argue that every single business is essential to someone. It's how they make a living. Yeah. It's how they put food on the table for their family. And what I would do differently is say, okay, these are the guidelines. These are the recommendations. Open all the businesses up. You know, what he's done basically is pick the winners, which would be the golf courses, the big businesses like Walmart, Lowe's, the grocery stores, the ABC stores, and the abortion clinics. The losers our small businesses, our restaurants, our retail businesses, our gym owners, small businesses, and our churches.
It doesn't seem like he's taken the economic calculation into account as much as he's taken the medical.
Right.
Real quick, and I'm watching the clock, and I'm sorry I've got to go, but I appreciate you talking to me. Has the governor reached out to you? You know, there are only 140 total legislators in the Commonwealth of Virginia, and everybody I talk to has told me that they haven't heard from the governor directly. They've tried to reach him. They've sent messages, but he hasn't reached out to them. So I want to ask you, have you heard from him directly?
I have not. He has my cell phone number, and we have worked on much legislation together, which he has signed into law, honestly, with many pieces of legislation. And, you know, we have had the weekly updates from his staff, but he's never been on those phone calls. It's concerning to me that as Virginia's governor, that you must lead the charge. You must be an example, and you need to be collaborative with the other legislators. I mean, we have many members of the legislature who are medical doctors. I mean, those are the people that I think we should be reaching out
now,
to.
You're pretty bold. You would reach out to Democrats. You're telling me you would consult with Democrats?
I would consult with the healthcare providers. I do believe we need to look at a holistic approach to this. Mm-hmm. I would hear what the medical folks are saying, but then folks like myself who have the background in the finance and small business owners, mm-hmm. I think you have to take a holistic approach. Not just everybody when they talk about economic health, I would argue that impacts your physical health. If you can't put food on the table for your family,
well,
or
we're
pay
about to
for
see
your
that.
Health insurance,
yeah. I'm afraid we're really about to see the long-term negative consequences. And I appreciate so much you coming on today and talking about
anytime.
It. And I'm sure we'll talk again as we continue. State Senator Amanda Chase, the Republican who represents Chesterfield, who's the first person to announce that she's running for governor for the Republican nomination next year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!